Turn with me to Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the last chapter, the sixth chapter. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10, Paul writes these words of encouragement to the church, the whole church, to you. Ephesians 6:10, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Let's pause there and give thanks. Gracious Father, we confess that we cannot live by bread alone, by human nourishment alone. We live by every word that comes to us from your mouth. So open today our ears, our minds, and our hearts that we could receive and live in your living word, who is Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Let me start here. When there is a house fire, most of us think, when there's a house fire, most of us think that the danger is in the flames. The flames are what we see. The flames are where our attention goes. That's what feels the most urgent. But any firefighter will tell you the flames are usually not what kill people. It's not what you see. It's not the flames. It's usually what? It's the smoke. It's the smoke. It's what you don't see. Because with the smoke, toxic air will fill the room. The oxygen level drops. People begin to breathe that and get disoriented and instinctively try to run to get out. And they're standing up. They're trying to push through. They're fighting against and afraid of what is most visible, the flames. But they're fighting the wrong thing. Because if you don't recognize the real danger, you won't respond in the right way. Our firefighters, they're trained differently. They know to get down low, to slow down, to move cautiously and with great awareness to their surroundings, because they know the real threat is not always what you can see. And here's the truth. This is not just about fires, right? This is how a lot of us are living day by day. You are reacting to the things right in front of you. You are reacting to the people who you think cause you trouble. You're reacting to the pressures that are coming your way, to the conflicts that you can see with your eyes and hear with your ears. You're reacting to the stress that you feel building up inside you. But underneath, friends, there is something else entirely going on. And if you misidentify the battle, you will misapply your energy. If you misidentify the battle, you will misapply your energy. And that's exactly where Paul takes us here at the end of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6. Recap just a few of those verses. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Finally, Now, that may seem like an odd place to start not only a sermon, but a whole sermon series here in the month of May. Finally, Paul is not here at the end of Ephesians. Finally, he's not changing the subject. He's not tacking on a few lines because he's got space at the bottom of the parchment that he needs to fill in before he signs his name. Paul is not changing the subject, but he is landing the plane. He's landing the plane. He said, based on everything I've written in this letter to you, disciples of Jesus, beloved of God, what is it that you need to do? What is the final key you need to decode how it is going to be to live a life of faithfulness to Jesus? Everything that Paul has said in Ephesians, okay, I'm going to give you like the 5-second recap of the book of Ephesians. Chapter 1, Paul reminds you, you were chosen in Christ. You were chosen. It's not an accident that you find yourself as a follower of Jesus. Chapter 2 reminds you that you were dead in your sin, that you were dead and separated from God, but that God has taken the initiative. He's opened the door. He has reconnected you. And now you are made alive by His grace. And now that you are alive, chapter 3, you are rooted and grounded. You have been planted again in the grace and the love of God. You are rooted and established in Him. And now you are called to walk differently. That's chapter 4 and chapter 5. Now that you know you are grounded, now that you know you have a new identity in Christ, you are called to walk differently. And then Paul says, okay, that's all great. And it all sounds good. And you, maybe you've heard this. You've heard testimonies that say something like this: my life was a mess, and I came to Jesus. I found myself saved. And then everything got better. It was shining. It was glowing. It was all good. Up and to the right, there was total growth and peace. And maybe that's true for you for a little while. But I'll tell you, when the new rubs off, and sometimes, let's be honest, the new in following Jesus, the new can rub off, and you find yourself at odds. It feels like you're at odds with yourself and with even with the Lord. Paul says right here at the end of Ephesians in chapter 6, Paul says, I got you. He says, I got you. This is why. Because yes, there is a Savior. Yes, there is hope and peace. But there is also a fight. There is also a fight. Paul would tell us, you might not have signed up for a fight, but you were born into a fight. Or even better, you were born again into a fight. If you have aligned yourself with Jesus as a follower of Jesus, whether you realized it or not, you signed up to be in a battle that was raging long before you came on the scene and one that will continue to rage until the end of time. You were born into a fight. You were dropped behind enemy lines. I know there's a popular men's Bible study group here in Savannah called Band of Brothers. How many of you have ever been to Band of Brothers? Pastor Kenny Grant. Band of Brothers. I think Band of Brothers got their name. There was an HBO documentary, right, about a group of soldiers who were dropped behind enemy lines on D-Day at the start of the invasion of Normandy in the Second World War. Band of Brothers. You were dropped behind enemy lines. Band of Brothers, that line actually came from a Shakespeare play, for those of you who were keeping notes of that. But so everything came from something else, right? But there's this reminder that you're born in a battle. That you were born in a battle. You've had this moment, right? There's what feels like at work. There's a normal conversation. Maybe there begins to be an exchange, some different views or different opinions. And suddenly things turn sharp. Or maybe it doesn't just happen at work. Maybe it even happens at home. And something that seemed small and solvable escalates fast. And afterward, you're scratching your head and thinking, where in the world did that come from? And you think it was just about what was said. You thought it was about them, but it wasn't. There was something else underneath. There was something else underneath. And what we would say and learn is, if you misidentify the battle, you will misapply your energy. If you misidentify the battle, you'll misapply your energy. And so Paul says this. Friends, when we're diagnosing the world in which we live, first let's be clear on this one thing. We have a source of strength. Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Notice he doesn't say, just be stronger. Just hold on tighter. Be strong in the Lord. That's different. That means you don't generate your own strength. It means you receive strength from an outside source. Again, tying back to the first parts of Ephesians, in Ephesians 1:19, Paul told us that His incomparably great power is at work in those of us who believe. So friends, if you've trusted Jesus, you already have a source of power that is outside you, and that power is incomparably great. In Ephesians 3, Paul writes, I pray that out of His glorious riches He would strengthen you with power from His Spirit in your inner being. You don't generate the strength. You receive the strength. So let's be honest with ourselves for a moment. Where do we find ourselves fighting in our own strength? Maybe it's when we think we have to rely on willpower. Right? You know there's something that needs to change, and you look in the mirror and you say, you can do this. I can do this. I'll try harder next time. I'll stay focused next time. Mind over matter, right? I can do this. Friends, that's fighting in our own strength. Personality. Sometimes we give up based on personality. This is just how I am. Right? This is just how I'm wired. I'll never be any better. I'll never be any different. Fighting in our own strength. Sometimes we fight in our own strength. We use image management. Let me just say, image management was around long before social media. So just because you know you see social media, you see somebody else's timeline, you see somebody else's photos, that is a highly curated version of themselves that they are presenting for the world. Even the person that seems to be honest and transparent, friends, there are things they're leaving out. You're not seeing the whole story, but image management. Friends, why do you think photography took so long to catch on? Because you could pay an artist to paint you how you wanted to be seen. Think about that for a minute. People didn't like photography when it first came out because it caught everything, right? Can you touch that up? Can you airbrush that? Oh, let's just go back to painters and artists, right? They could make you look like you want to look. Image management. Or how about this, y'all? How about just control? How about just the question of control? You know you're fighting in your own strength when control is at the heart of every decision you make. If I can manage everything, I'll be okay. And let me be honest, control is even harder the older you get. I'll speak to myself and those. I like to divide our congregation. In my mind, it keeps me safe. People younger than me and people older than me. But y'all, I recognize this. The older I get, the more I want to make sure I'm in control of every situation. I want to be the ultimate decision maker. And the longer I get used to being the ultimate decision maker, the harder it is to release that. Friends, that's a way of working in our own strength. Because one day, let's just be practical. One day time will take everything out of your hands. And I think it may be easier if we get used to it now. Control is an example of how we fight in our own strength. Y'all, fighting in our own strength. It's like you're trying. We're coming into the summer, so it's coming. It's going to come in. Eli's so worried about hurricane season in the South, y'all. And many of you, how many of you have a generator? You've got a permanent generator hooked up and ready. How many? Just like let's see a handful of you. Yeah, not everybody, but a handful of people. Imagine trying to run your house all year long, the electricity in your house all year long off a generator. Y'all, how many trips to the gas station would that be? It just wouldn't work, right? Your generator probably doesn't even have the capacity to run the entire electric draw of your house. You'd have to be deciding every morning, are we going to run the hot water heater or the refrigerator? Right? We're going to have to do this or that. Because a generator wasn't made to do that. Your house has to be plugged into the grid. You might get power for a while, but eventually it cannot sustain it. Why? That's not what it's designed for. And friends, let me tell you this. You are not designed to be the source of strength for your life as a Christian. You are not designed for that. You were never meant to be the source. For our struggle, Paul says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Paul isn't saying people don't matter. But what he's saying is flesh and blood, that's other humans. He's not saying people don't matter. He's saying people are not our ultimate problem. So we fight people and we fight situations and stress and we fight against ourselves. And Paul says that's not the real fight. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities and the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Y'all, I could give us like spooky lesson right here, and I don't want to necessarily do that, but I want to tell you, there is supernatural opposition to a Christian wanting to live as a Christian. There is supernatural opposition. It's not just your bad habits. It's not just your recurring temperament. It's not just the people that are in your life. There is actual spiritual opposition. That's what Paul says is clear. And if anything, we just don't have a supernatural enough worldview in the 21st century. You believe in gravity? You believe in whether you believe in gravity or not, gravity shapes your life. Whether you believe, you don't have to agree with gravity. You don't have to make a public profession of faith, a decision about gravity. It is going to shape your life, even though you never see it. Like an iceberg, you see the tip, but most of it is below the surface. You may not see the tip of spiritual opposition in your life. But let me remind you, friends, that you were born into a battle. And your battle is not against people. Your battle is against the one who would pretend to have authority, the enemy of our souls, the one who would pretend to have authority over this world. And if you misidentify the battle, you will misapply your energy. Again, think about this. Temptation. Any temptation you encounter. They're a combination of things at work. Your personality is at work. Your repetitive practices of the past are at work. That habit is at work. But underneath, friends, there is a spiritual battle. There is another voice who wants you to set your identity, who wants you to set the patterns of your life and allegiance around something other than. We already sang it today. There's nothing better than you, Lord. And that's, y'all, friend, it's so wonderful and easy to sing, there's nothing better than you. But in that moment of trial, in that moment of temptation, it's easy to think there's nothing better than X, fill in the blank. Whatever your temptation is. Anxiety, and I'm not talking clinical mental health issue right here. I'm just talking about the regular worries that you, and you think it's just stress, but underneath there's a spiritual battle. Who do you trust? What do you trust? Do you trust yourself? Or do you trust the Lord? Any conflict, whether in the home or in the workplace, you think maybe it's just a communication issue, but underneath it's your pride and your fear, and their pride and their fear, and real spiritual resistance. There's always more going on than what you can see. And so this happens. We exhaust ourselves, right? We exhaust ourselves fighting people. We replay the conversation. We build the cases. Jonathan Haidt says it. We all have an inner lawyer who can help defend that perfect position that we have, and all we do is wear ourselves out because we're fighting the wrong battle. We fight the wrong battle. And when we do that, we ignore what's actually shaping us, the real influences, the real lies and fears and patterns in our lives. Those things go unaddressed. And instead of just fading away, those are the things that are quietly shaping us and forming us. And then we drift. We lose ground without even realizing it. There's not a dramatic failure. There's simply a slow movement off course, like a plane, a few degrees off heading at the beginning of a flight. It doesn't look like much, but over time, the plane lands somewhere far different from where it was intended to go. Friends, some of us are losing battles because we don't even realize we are in a battle. And so Paul doesn't say, attack. He doesn't say, win. He doesn't say, dominate. He just says, stand. Why does he say stand? I mean, I want somebody to call me to action, and Paul says, stand. Because, friend, everything about our spiritual success, everything about our spiritual victory is rooted in something that is already accomplished for us. It's a perfect day to come to the Lord's table. It's a perfect day to come to the Lord's table and remember again. Memory is the first act in coming to the Lord's table, to recognize that there was a moment in time when all of time and eternity changed. And so we're rooted in what Christ has already secured. We sit in the grace. Walk that through Ephesians again. We sit in that grace. We walk in that obedience. And now we stand in that resistance. And we don't stand by pushing harder. We stand by staying anchored. And so when we come to the communion table, the question is not, did you do enough this week to earn a spot here? It's not the question. The question is, where is your strength coming from? And Jesus here offers His strength, His body given for you, His blood in the cup, a new covenant covering you. Not symbols of your effort, not rewards for your obedience, but reminders of His completed work. So let's be clear today, friends. Some of you who are already believers in Jesus, some of you are just tired, and you're tired. You're tired, not because you've done too much for your time, but you're tired because you're fighting in your own strength. And so today, hear the invitation from the Lord. Don't try harder. Don't try harder. Learn to receive again. Learn to receive again. That's one reason we encourage you when you come to the Lord's table. Come, don't try to grab the bread, but come, it's already set for you, it's already torn for you, it's already prepared for you. Come and receive, with your hands outstretched. It's a spiritual sign that we're getting something that's been prepared for us that can do for us more than we can do for ourselves. Receive from the Lord. For others who are who are still seeking, who are not yet believers in Jesus, haven't settled that trust, you aren't just tired. You're not just tired because you're tired. You're tired because you're unanchored. And you're fighting real battles, and yet you're fighting them without any access to the source of real life. And Jesus doesn't offer to come in and just help you occasionally. He offers to come in and be the source of your life, to bring you a whole new life. You didn't sign up for this fight, but you don't stand alone in it. That's why we come together to the Lord's table, because we're all in this fight together, and Jesus is our strength. So think about this for the week. Before you react, when the moment of conflict comes, the moment of stress or fatigue or struggle, take one deep breath. Take one pause and ask the Lord, what's really going on here? Is it what you see or what you think, or is there something bigger? What's really going on here? And here's your prayer. Jesus, help me see clearly and help me stand in you. Jesus, help me see clearly and help me stand in you. Let's pause now and pray as we prepare to bring ourselves to the table so that we can receive from how the Lord Jesus is prepared for us there. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we do not come today to prove anything. We come to receive. So this day, strengthen us and anchor us and teach us to stand. Amen.